God is so good to us. I am excited about the kingdom of God. You know what? We live in the best time ever. And you know what? We cannot let division happen to us. Do not be divided in the body of Christ. I'm telling you, that is a word from God. Don't be divided. Don't let anything divide you. Do not be upset with your brothers and sisters, because your brothers and sisters are going to get you through.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that's what the body of Christ is about. And we have to be together. We don't always agree. How many of you know we don't always agree? No, but where does it say we have to always agree? We do not have to always agree, but we have to get over ourselves. Amen? We got to get over ourselves. We got to get over our way. We don't get our way all the time. Now, we had a very good meeting yesterday about meeting for helping with the conference. And when we have a list, and when we have this list, I'm just telling you guys kind of how this works. So, because everybody doesn't understand how we are. We're kind of different, you know. Have you figured that out yet? But we have a list, and we have things that we're needing, and we think we have things that need to be done. But anytime we do this, somebody wants to do something else. We don't need help with something else. We need help with what we're doing right now. Amen. And we need help with what your idea is. We're not poo-pooing your idea. Your ideas are awesome, and we will listen to them. And we want you to do what you're called to do. Amen. We're not saying that. But right now, we're on this mode, and we need to get these things. We have a list, don't we, Vera? We got a list that we had yesterday. We took away some. We added some, and it's great. And we got a list of things to do for our conference, and we need help with that. And so if you're interested in helping us with some of those things and helping us during the conference, we would love it. And we'll get some things done, and it'll be an awesome time. Amen. But it's called working together. You know, we think of Nehemiah when they built the wall. And what did they say? Those guys had a mind to work. Boom. That goes against everything in our culture. Nobody has a mind to work. People don't want to work. I shouldn't say nobody. Some of us, you know, some of us do a lot of work. But that's what it's all about. And we're just coming together to do those things. And we just want you to be a part. And we love y'all. And we respect y'all. And we just think you're awesome. Amen? Praise God. Well, we got into this last week. Got put off and put on. Amen? Did anybody get anything out of that? When we started putting off the stuff, but we didn't get into the put on, did we? We just got into the put off. And there's a lot of stuff we need to put off. How many of you know that? You need to put off some stuff. You know, truthfully, it's repentance, changing our mind, turning the other way, you know, leaving something and going to something else. Are you with me? Amen. We need to repent. Now is repentance. Repentance doesn't mean that you come down bawling and squalling to the altar and feeling bad about your sin. That is not what repentance is. It's not. There's a time when you do feel bad about your sin, and hallelujah, but you let it go, amen, because Jesus paid for it. Are you with me? But repentance is truthfully changing your mind, changing how you think, putting off the old and putting on the new. Pretty easy. Right now, I just have this. It just hit me right there. Holy Ghost said, can you tell me, any of you, something that you have put off and how it changed you? Anybody?
Just addiction.
Bingo. There you go, buddy. Addiction. And you don't have to do details. That's a good way to say it. You know?
Offense.
Addiction. Huh?
Offense.
Yeah, offense. Oh, that's a huge one, isn't it, Vera? I can get offended real easy. Amen. Rhonda?
Fear.
Oh, put off. Think about it. Put off fear. Wow. Put off offense. Put off addiction. What else? Anybody?
Ego.
Oh, ego. Whoa. Ego, I think I know. Well, let me tell you, this is a big one, because every time you think you know, you're in trouble. If you think you know, you are in big trouble. You don't know. You just have to receive that. Now, I'm not saying you don't know anything. Are you with me? I'm not saying that. No, some of you guys are just incredible in the things that you have and the gifts and the talents and the things you know are wonderful. But when you think you have it on a stick and everybody has to do it your way, you're going down. Because that's not how it works. Amen? Put off ego. Good one, man. Good one. Any more? Those things that you put off. Any more? What an idea. I need to do that one. then we gotta put off putting off. Wow. Wow, that's something real, isn't it? Isn't that true? Just dumb stuff that we just flitter our money after nothing. That's big. That's good. We got to be wise. Amen? Got to listen to the Spirit of God. That's good. Amen. Anybody else? Well, those are some great ones. There's a lot more, and we can go on and on. But I want you to know, putting off something is very huge, and it's very, very important. But that's not all there is to it. Because if you put something off and you don't put something in its place, it's going to come back and get back in its little nestle and come in there and grow 7 times bigger than you've ever even imagined. Anybody ever experienced that? Yeah, I have. I mean, you know, you put things off. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm not never going to do that again. The old drunk's prayer. Oh, God, save me from this terrible hangover, and I'll never drink again until the headache goes away. And then, bingo, you're drunk again. You know, that you get to keep the headache, right? But that stuff, that doesn't work. It really, what happens when you put something off and you don't put something in its place, it grows worse and it comes back. And I've found that in my own life. I'm not telling you this because this is some lesson that I learned in even in discipleship or in reading or studying or reading the Bible or going to classes or whatever we've done to learn. But this is something I lived. And, you know, I was pretty good at repenting. I was pretty good at putting it off. I was pretty good at saying, okay, but now we have to put something on. And putting something, when you put something off, right away, you have to fill that void with the Word of God. There's nothing else works. Don't tell me that something else works because it doesn't. I tried just about all of it, and none of it worked. None of it. But you have to fill that up with the Word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. We have got to fill it up with the Word of God. Amen? The Word is the truth, and there's no way around it. Amen? Let's see. Let me see here. Those are the good. I want to read Colossians 3, 8 through 10 again. This is just New King James. But we read this last week, but it's powerful. But now you yourselves are to put off these. Are you hearing me? He's telling us what to put off. Anger, wrath. How many of you know wrath is worse than anger? It's anger gone to seed. Anger, wrath, malice. Oh, that's a terrible hatred thing. Blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Wow, those are powerful. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now listen to me. And have put on the new man, who is renewed and knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Amen, amen. That is so awesome. And we found out last week, this is just a little recap. Put off means to send away. You know, it's just like taking off your old, we had Tyvek suits down there in the house that I just got tired of wearing them. I just didn't. But did you wear one?
I didn't.
No, Mary did, huh? And Mona. Mona wore them. And you wear those Tyvek suits when you're working in the nasty stuff and everything, you know? And boy, there's nothing like taking that thing off. When I first went down there and it was really bad, I wore that thing. But when you take that off, it's like, whoa. You take that off and it's so wonderful. And then you go to the house and you take a shower. Oh. And you get in some new clothes. Amen. That's what it is. That's what put off is. Is you take all that old off, you take a shower, and guess what? Put on. It's like putting on a brand new, fresh, clean shirt. Amen. And then looking like Jesus. Praise God. Man. And I want to say this another time. I said it last week, and we'll recap, and then I'll go on to put on. But our job is to simply make the decision to put off and to put on. As we cast the old on Him, He deals with our heart and dresses us in His perfect clothes. Come on now, receive this. I'm telling you, His power will do it. It's not you doing it. Now, that is very confusing for people, and I know it is. It was for me. Well, what do you mean I don't have to do it? Well, you do. I mean, but the power comes from Him. It's like He's the gas and you're the car. Are you with me? It's going to be coming through your hands. You are God's hands and feet and mouthpiece on this earth. Amen. But faithful is He who calls you, for He also will do it, is what it says. He will do it. He will empower you to do it. Amen. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And He'll empower you. It's you doing these things, but it's not your power. You're not the gas. He is. Does that make sense? Yeah, I want that. That's not clear as mud, right? I mean, I want that to be really clear. He will empower you. We always say He'll do it. And so people become couch potatoes. Yep. I've seen that. I'm telling you. Well, you told me He'll do it. What do you mean? Well, what are you doing? I'm not doing anything. Well, then you're not listening to God, because God doesn't ever have you do nothing. He does not. No, there's a time to rest. Amen. God tells you to rest. And there's a time. Jesus rested. Amen. And we need that. Hallelujah. I love it when you guys go on vacation and, you know, go places and do stuff and get out and about and go and enjoy life. Do that. Amen. You need it. Amen. We need to enjoy it. Now, not the kind of way that you went to Florida, but, you know, there could be some better ways to do that. But yeah, don't do that. Amen. But we want to enjoy this thing, and there's a time for that. But we're not, when we say He'll do it, when we're saying it's His power, we're not saying that you do nothing. Faith without works is dead. And that's exactly what that means. That is what that means, because those works come through His anointing, His power. His power anoints you to do stuff. Amen? We do stuff. If you looked at that house and you saw that house, most everybody we met told us and advised us to walk away. Isn't that right, Tam? They tell, many people are still telling us to leave it. And we're saying, no, God told us to clean it up. We're not doing what they say. We're doing what God says. Would it be easier to walk away? Oh, yeah. It would. But that's not what we're doing. We honor our cousin. She's part of our family. We honor her. We're cleaning up her mess. She was unable to do it, so we do it for her. She's our family. Amen? Is that fun? Yay! But we have fun doing it. We have fun doing it. And we found some of the best hole-in-the-wall restaurants. Little hole-in-the-wall Mexican restaurant, little mom-and-pop place is awesome, huh, Tam? We go there, chili Rianos, make you want to slap your pastor. Yeah, it's good stuff, man, good stuff. And we just enjoyed it. But he'll do it. He will do it. He empowers you. He's your gas, amen? He's your gas to put it off. Are you with me? He's empowering you. He gave you the power to put it off. Your job is to make the decision. Your job is to decide, to make a heart decision. Lord, I do this. I want this. I want this done. Help me. What a prayer. There's a four-letter word called help that'll change your life. God, help. I need help. I can't do this. I don't have the power. How many of you know you don't have the power? Boy, that's great. Because if you think you're going to do it under your power, you're going to fail miserably, just like I did. I tried to do it all in my power. I tried, and I tried, and I tried to do Christianity in my power. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I had no idea what I was doing. But you can. It's not about that. It's about Him, Christ Jesus Himself, empowering you to become all you can, amen? And He is with you, amen? So I want to go through some of these today. And when we put off pride, in its place, we put on humility. Are you with me? Amen, humility. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up, amen? And humility is not that you're a worm and that you're useless and you have no worth. You know, I'm not a big proponent of self-worth. I hear that all the time. Psychologists, Christian psychologists teach it. And there's a lot of people that teach it, but I'm not all about self-worth at all. I'm about who I am in Christ's worth. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
You know, like Julie says that we sing the song now that he saved someone like me. She changed that word, wretch. Well, I was a wretch. And He saved a wretch like me. But I'm not a wretch now. Amen. Because of Jesus, I am not a wretch. And that's what she's saying. And she's telling us that. And we need to know that. You're not a wretch anymore. Amen. Even if you feel like a wretch, you're not one. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Say, I'm not a wretch. I'm not a wretch. Amen. Good. Yeah, you're not. And I believe that. But we need to make that decision in our heart and then go with the power that He gives you, the anointing, His anointing, Christ in you, His anointing and the anointing working in and through you to do these things. Are you with me? So you put off pride and you put on humility. What does humility mean? It means lowliness of mind. In Ephesians 4:2, it says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Wow. Wow. You notice there it says long suffering, but it doesn't say forever suffering. I mean, some of this suffering is long. You've been there. It's part of the deal. How many of you know it's part of the deal? Get over the fact that it's just la-la land and everything's just going to be twinkly. Amen? Throw yourself a party when you're in the midst of it. Dave DeWell wrote a book called Throw Yourself a Party. That's what he was talking about when they took every earthly belonging that he had. They took it all from him, everything. He lost everything. He didn't lose his house for some reason. But he lost everything else, everything. They came in with a semi and took everything he owned. They did. They took it all. Because they said that somebody accused him of being like one of those guys, you know, that takes money from people and then it's not real, a scammer deal, you know, or whatever. And it was a bogus thing. It was terrible. He won. He got all his stuff back. But he sat on lawn furniture in his living room for a couple years. Long suffering. And he got to say, when he got it all back, he got to say, how do you like me now? Amen. He did, because he won. He was not a crook. He was not bad. He was not messed up. Amen. So we put off pride and put on humility. Lowliness and gentleness. Lowliness doesn't mean that you're lower than a snake's belly in a wheel rut. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that you're scum or you're bad or anything like that. It means you're not exalting yourself. You're not going around puffed up, being some clown that thinks he's more than he really is. Amen? It's about being who you are, the lowliness of Christ. Amen? And then gentleness, this is huge. I love this. A gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen? How many of you know? Gentleness means not holding someone's feet to the letter of the law. Ow. Because you sure want to sometimes. Amen? You sure want to. You sure want to hold their feet to the letter of the law. And now we are not woke culture tells you to be kind and gentle to evil. Watch out. And that is not what this is talking about. And you do not have to be kind and gentle to evil. Are you with me?
Yes.
You do not. You speak it boldly and you speak it righteously right to their gnarly little face. Amen? We do not have to be that. That is a lie. That is a fake godliness. And it's like, oh, be kind to the evil ones. No, you don't have to be. And you, let me tell you what, nice is not a fruit of the Spirit. It is not. And you don't have to be nice. Mona hates this when I say this, because she believes in being nice. Amen. And I do too. I believe we're nice to each other. I believe we're nice to our family. I believe we're nice to the body of Christ. I believe we're nice to the people that we're ministering to and all that. I do. I'm not saying that. But you don't have to be nice to the devil. And you do not have to be nice to his cohorts. And you don't have to be nice to the demonic realm. I know I talked about that last week, but it's on my spirit. And I mean to tell you. And we do not. Don't buy into that lie that you have to be nice to that garbage. No, I'm not standing for that. No, I will not do that. No, I don't put up with your stuff. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So be gentle with your family. Be gentle with your husband, with your wife. Be gentle with the body of Christ. Don't hold them to the letter of the law. You don't have to do that. Let me tell you, it's not going to change them. It is not going to change them. You holding somebody's feet to the letter of the law will never change them. Never. I'll tell you what will. You demonstrating that, and you being a demonstration of that love and godliness and that gentleness to them will change them, because they'll look at you and they'll say, how did you do that? Yeah. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that you don't speak your mind and you don't give somebody a word when God tells you to. I'm not saying that. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater here. It's not all or nothing. And this is not all inclusive. You know, we're not saying this. You know, there's a time when you have to say, no, this is what we're doing. Could I get a little amen peep out of it? Thank you. Thank you. It helps me. I preach better when you say amen. So we put off pride and then we put on humility. Are you with me? Is that okay? Are you there? Now, I want you guys to study these verses. I can't preach on all this. I would just stay on Ephesians 4:2 the whole day. I'm not going to do it that way because that's not what the Lord showed me to do. But I want you to study these things. And then we put off jealousy. Jealousy is a nasty devil. It's a nasty devil. We put off jealousy. And you know what you put on in the place of jealousy is you put on gratefulness. Wow. Gratefulness. Gratefulness, defined in the Greek, is, it says right in three different Greek dictionaries that I study, it says thankful, for which is grace. Wow. Wow. What's grace? God's unmerited favor. Of course, that's what grace came from. And then God's ability. Grateful for his grace. Amen. God's ability in you. But let's go to Romans 6:17. And this is a beautiful, beautiful thing here. It says, but God be thanked that you who were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Yes, grace, thankfulness is our deliverance. Come on, amen. Can you get that? Isn't that awesome? Yeah, come on, man. Gratefulness. Aren't you just grateful? I just wake up in the morning saying, oh, God, this is awesome. I woke up this morning and that moon, that little fingernail moon was there. And then that big star right under it. Did you see it? It was amazing. It was just beautiful. And I'm just looking at that going, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. And then yesterday we were here and I look at the sky and it was so blue. It was like messing with me. I was like, whoa, look at that. It was awesome, man. You know, I am just so grateful. Are you grateful? Come on, man. Thank you, Jesus. So then we put off offense. That one you said. That's a good one. Not to be offended. For forgiveness. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you get offended? Jesus talked about it big time. He said, you will be offended. You know, Jesus offended people. And we offend each other. And we're offensive. But I tell you what, when you look up forgiveness, guess what it means? The first definition is to send away. Is that awesome? Come on, we're talking about forgiveness here. This whole lesson is about forgiveness to put on. You put on forgiveness, amen? We put off that selfishness. We put off that pride. We put off all those things. And then we put on forgiveness. We put off offense and we put on forgiveness. Forgiveness to send away, to remit. That's huge. To remove the cause. To remove the cause of the offense. So you go to the Word. And this is what you put in your heart when you let that go. You put this in your heart instead of that offense. It says in Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another. You know where it says one another? That's talking about the body of Christ.
Right.
It really is.
Yep.
That's what that's talking about. And it doesn't mean that you don't be kind to anybody else. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you what, that just really focus. That's the focus. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. You mean you can feel it with your heart. Not just being so hard and callous. I'm not letting that in. You know. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Wow. Wow. Forgiveness, guys and gals. Forgiveness. Whew. What a deal. Where am I here? Yeah, how about this one? We put off, where'd it go? Oh, yeah. Deception. Whole lot of deception going on in the world right now. Whole lot of deception. You put on deception for truth. Jesus is truth. We understand. Amen. When you look it up, it says truth. It's real. Truth is real. Ideal and genuine. Truth is Jesus.
Amen.
His way is truth. No other. Amen. Well, you guys all know John 14:6, and it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. Amen. 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 That was John 14:6, not 16. Yeah. There it is. Oh, is it coming up? No, 14. There you go. Got it. Good. It looks good. Amen. Yeah. He's the truth. Do you know what that means? That means that every way he does it is the way for you. Doing your way will not work. If you're not walking in the way of Jesus, you are on your own. You're walking outside of the grace of God. You know, I kind of see it like this. I see it like a big grace bubble. That we're in this grace bubble, God's ability here. But then when you decide that you know more than God, and I've never met anybody that admitted it to me that said that. I don't know anybody like that. But when you pop out of that grace bubble by doing it your way, that's where you go. You go right outside of that grace bubble, and you're not in the grace. You can fall from grace. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about falling from grace. I'm talking about when the ability of God is not working in your life, when the power's not working. In Bruce Almighty, he said, I've got the power. Remember? He got the power. But let me tell you what, when you pop out of that grace bubble, you don't have the power. It's not there. You've been there. I've been there. We've all been there because we pop in and out, don't we? Thank God he lets us back in. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Wow. Wow. Man. Oh, man. Oh, man. And then we want to, we do this little anger thing. We repent from anger. We put off anger and we put on peace. And you study that word shalom. Oh, my gosh, it's huge. And it means way more than I can go into today because I'll start 19 new messages. But shalom is wholeness. Wholeness, everything made perfect. It's salvation. It's Jesus. In Philippians 4:9, it says, the things what you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. His way. I'm talking about his way. The way we make it through this cracked up world that we live in, a crazy place, and that the Marxists and the communists and the socialists are trying to take over. The way we make it through this is for you to walk in peace. You have to be in peace. Don't let them get to you. Stand for what you believe. Stand. Say it. Don't do it. Don't fall to their lies. Don't be one of them. Don't be one of them. Come on. Lay down that anger and bring in peace. You'll refute it by being the person of peace. Amen? Oh, man. How about craziness? You want to put off something? Huh? Craziness. Yeah. Yeah, man. Craziness. And we'll put off craziness for what? We'll put off that craziness, the cray-cray idea, right? There's crazy stuff going on in the world. It's crazy out there. But we put off craziness. And you know what I said? You know the old song that Tim gave me, that little thing that hangs in my house that says, God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy. And don't get me wrong, I'm not promoting beer, so don't think that's what I'm saying. But I'm not. It's just it's making a point that people are crazy, but I want you to know you're a people. And sometimes you're crazy. And sometimes you got to put off craziness.
That's true.
We get crazy sometimes. We do. We go cray cray, and we get out there, and we're not walking with God. But when you do that, what do? You got to put off craziness and put on a sound mind. A sound mind. It means to be sober, to be in one's right mind, to be temperate, to be self-controlled, and to intend. Wow, that is incredible. I wish I had the time to deal with each one of those separately. You study them out. But to be sober is huge. Just wake up and know what's going on around you. Don't be in la-la land. Don't be so busy that you can't see what's happening. Amen? That's to be sober. Did you ever talk to somebody and they couldn't hear you?
No.
You're right here. Come on.
Yep.
They're not sober. Ooh. Because, you know, that bites us a little bit because we've probably been that person. I know I have. Mona tells me all the time. She tells me stuff. I say, you didn't tell me that. Kevin says, I understand that. Yeah, but it's because we weren't listening. We weren't sober. We weren't in our right mind. We weren't thinking where we were. We weren't there. Being sober means being on the same plane with the other person that's with you. We're there together. We're not going, do-do-do-do-do. You got so many things on your mind that you can't listen to somebody else. Happens to me. 2 Timothy 1:7. This is what you trade. You put this in your heart. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Somebody said fear, was it? That was you. Yeah. Somebody said fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Come on. Come on. That's what God's given us. Power, love, and a sound. Let's say it together. Say power, love, sound mind. One more time. Power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. We have to declare these things out loud. It helps you. It does. It changes the atmosphere. We're not just doing this for some little thing, you know, because we have to fill time. We're doing this because it changes the atmosphere in our life. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. What a thing to declare. What a thing to declare all the time. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And then we have death. Ooh. Ooh. How many of you want to put off death? Death, it's a nasty thing. You know, Jesus isn't about death. He's about life. He actually died so that you could live. Come on. It's not about death. The life is not about death. And we've all seen a lot of death lately. There's a lot of things been going on. We knew when this pandemic happened that that it would kill a lot of people. And they prophesied that it would. And it has. And there's been a lot of things that have happened, not just the disease, but some other things that were involved in that are killing people. And we've seen so many people die. That is not God's way. It is not God's way. God is about life. He is about life. And when we put off death, we want to choose life. We want to choose Zoe, which is the Greek word for life. Zoe, our salvation. Zoe, the life which God has given to us through the belief in His Son. That's how you get it. You just got to believe Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Wow. Jesus, His eternal life. And John 3:16 says, what? And whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is about life. And then, of course, the old choose life scripture. I'll never forget this one because we were with, in fact, it's on my dad's grave marker. isn't it, Tam? Because this became his scripture. And we were in a Bible study one time up in Jefferson, Colorado. And I took my dad up there. My mom had passed away, and he used to go with another guy, but that guy couldn't go for some reason. Old Bill couldn't go. So I took my dad up there, and we got onto this, and my dad got a revelation of this. My dad was very, very distraught. Grief was taking him out. My dad used to wear maroon sweatpants, his hunting, camouflage hunting boots, and a orange plaid shirt and a red hat. And he'd go down, he did. He would go down to the boys' office. Our boys' office used to be in the shopping center down there where Staples is now. And he used to be down there. My dad would just go in there and sit there. And my son, Adam, took him back in the office and said, "Dad, Grandpa, I got to talk to you." He said, "Grandma would roll over in her grave if she knew that you dress like this in public." Right. He said, "I'm going to take you to the store right now, and I'm going to buy you some new jeans, and I'm going to buy you some new shirts." And my dad didn't need him to buy him anything, but my son wanted to do that. And he said, "You got to take those give up on life pants and throw them away." Amen. Amen. If you're that bad off that you have to wear give up on life pants everywhere you go, you ought to just quit. But he had to give up. But he got this scripture right here. And it says, "I called heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore," what? "Choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and your length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which is the Lord, which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them." Amen. Hey, choose life. Amen. Amen. Put off death and choose life. Say it with me. Say, "I choose life." Let's praise the Lord, Josh. Let's praise the Lord. Oh, you know what? Before you shut me off there, let's make sure everybody knows Jesus. I like to do that, make sure the people online know Jesus. Amen. Jesus is Lord. I want you to know there's no other way to eternal life in Christ, in eternal life or in heaven. There's no other way to heaven. There's no other way to goodness. There is another eternal life, which is not so good. It's called hell, and it's not a good thing, and that's not where anybody wants to go. But I guarantee you this, he gave us life, and all you have to do is believe that Jesus came for you. And all you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus became your sin. He died on the cross, and he buried your sin, and that he rose again to give you life eternal. So let's say that together out loud. You guys that are out there in Cyber Church or wherever you're at, Jammy Church, whatever we want to call it, just say it with me. Say, "Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
we choose
this day
by our own free will that you are our Lord. You're our Savior. You're our righteousness. You're our peace. You're our joy. You're all the fruit of the Spirit. You're everything to us. Thank you for Zoe. We choose life. We believe. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to overflowing. In Jesus' name, amen." Awesome. You guys, we'll see you next time. Bless you all. We had a ball.